So for our last two sessions before I went off to Israel, we were talking about the issue of Hakal Hakal Tchila. The idea that in the event that I am needed to override Shabbos in order to heal a patient, I'm supposed to try to do it in the most lenient way possible, right? That was the principle. So if you're looking at the sheet, you see the table that I gave you. We said that where the patient needs to be in a dark room and there is a lamp right now, and I have two choices. I could extinguish the lamp, or I could just move the patient to a different space or block the light. If both of those are legitimate choices, then I'm supposed to choose path B. I'm supposed to move the patient. If it's safe for the patient, but I should move the patient or I should block the light. Why should I extinguish the light if I don't need to? Or another case that we saw, in the event that there are figs that are growing on branches and the patient needs fresh figs as part of his cure, the patient needs two figs specifically. So I have the following arrangement of stems. I have one stem that has one fig on it, another stem that has one fig on it, and then a third stem that has two figs on it. So what am I supposed to do? Two options. Either I could cut two stems in order to get figs, right? I could cut the two that each have one fig, or I can cut the third stem that has two figs on its own, and all I need to do is cut one stem. So the rule is cut one stem. Hakal, hakal, tchila. We try to override Shabbos as minimally as possible, assuming that it's not going to in any way damage or endanger my care for the patient. That's the basic principle. But we noted that it's not always true. So we saw a case in which I need to provide food for a patient. And we said, I am allowed to cook the meal for the patient. Assuming it's a dangerously ill patient, obviously, that's what we're talking about. I am allowed to cook on Shabbos for this patient, and no one says I have to take the neighbor's food. No one says that that's my obligation. Why not? Because once violating Shabbos is justified on behalf of this person, I don't need to bother somebody else to avoid Chilul Shabbos. To put it differently, the principle of Hakal Hakal Tchila, that we try to override Shabbos in the most minimal way, is on me as the person taking care of the patient. It's not on the neighbor. My neighbor doesn't need to get involved as well at all. Why does he need to lose his cholent? So therefore, I override it myself. Clear? All of that is old. That's all what we've said before. So if you look at the Nishmas Avram now, that's what we're up to. It is the page that has Shin Sadi Gimel at the top. It should be the first page for those who downloaded the sheets this week. If you downloaded the sheets from last time, then it's the second page. But it's the one that is Shin Sadi Gimel at the top. Does everyone see it? Okay? Okay. So we want where it says Dalet in bold letters, Dalet, afilu asa malacha lelo tzorech. That's what we're looking for. And what he says there is, and I think I actually may have said this at the end last time, I'm not sure. We're talking about hakal hakal tchila, trying to reduce what we do to violate Shabbos. He says, nonetheless, if you didn't reduce it, and you did instead more than was absolutely necessary, that's not called violating Shabbos. That's the statement. So take a look at what he says. Kosev Hashut Maharshag. He quotes the Maharshag to say, Nirali lo mar davar chadash. I'm going to say something new. Dim yesh kan chola sheyesh bo sakana b'Shabbos. If you have somebody who is ill, dangerously so, on Shabbos, Ubederech mashal, and let's say, for example, tzarechu lechol te'ena achas v'yesh kan te'ena telusha. He needs to eat one fig. And there is a fig right here. It's pre-picked. There's nothing wrong with it. V'halach ish echad v'katzer lo te'ena acheres min ha-mechuber. But somebody went and cut a fig off of a tree. and gave it to him to eat. He didn't give him the separate fig. Granted that what this person did was not the halacha, because he could have given him the separated one. It was prohibited to cut a fig for him. Still, mikol makom, im avar va'asa lo asa iser de'oraisa. Nonetheless, what he did was not biblically prohibited. We don't apply any of the penalties that would apply for violation of biblical law. Kevin de sof kol sof asa malachto b'shvil chola sheyesh bo sakana lo chashuv chilul. Because at the end of the day, what he did was for the sake of somebody who was dangerously ill. So therefore, that's not called chilul Shabbos. That's the idea. I think I said it at the end last time, so we did a little bit of chazara. But then he continues and he says the following. V'hine kosev ha'avne nezer. The Avne Nezer, also known as the Igle Tal, said the following. V'hadim avur b'menachos, d'chola sha'amduhu l'shnei grogros, v'yishnayim ba'oketz echad, v'sholosh ba'oketz acher. We say in the Gemara Menachos Samach Dalet, that if you have somebody who is ill, and the doctors say he needs two figs, and there's one stem that has two figs attached, and there's another stem that has three figs attached. So we say, korsin ha'oketz sheyesh bo hashnayim v'lo sheyesh bo hashalosh. You're supposed to cut the stem that has just two figs attached. Hainu mishum shagrogeres hashlishi enu letzarech hachola. That's because your third fig is not needed for the sake of the patient, right? This is like the discussion in case number two in the table. V'alkein lo nizbar b'poskim. Dim yesh shnayim ba'oketz echad u'shnayim b'shnei oktzin aser lichos ha'shnayim b'shnei oktzin. And therefore he says it's not clarified in the poskim that in the case that I gave you before, if there are two figs on one stem, and then there's one fig on another stem, and one fig on another stem, aser lichos ha'shnayim b'shnei oktzin, we won't say that you're not allowed to cut the two stems. De'be'emes mutter b'zeh, kevin shakol l'tzorech. At the end of the day, it's all necessary. Af shemarbe bibitzira, even though you are adding to your harvesting, so to speak. Va'ayin heite b'shulchan aruch v'tira shekeinu. He says, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you'll see that that's true. So actually, he's saying against my table. My table said you're supposed to cut the one stem to get the figs instead of cutting the two stems. But actually, he's saying not so fast. He's saying you're actually okay. If you do the two, because all of the figs will be used. And then he says the following. This is what I wanted to get to, but he's saying you're actually okay with the two stems. He says, V'chein mashma b'rashba v'ran b'chidushav reish perak rabbalazer demila. He quotes you a Rashba and a Ran in a Gemara in Shabbos. And here I think what I'm going to do is show you the Rashba, rather than do a summary. We'll show you the Rashba. Take a look at source Beis. You see source Beis? Actually, sorry, on your sheet it should say source Aleph. Chidushei HaRashba? Is that what it says there? Yeah, it's Aleph on your sheet. I had it as Beis on mine, and then I got rid of a source. So this Rashba, I felt, has the potential to be really confusing, and therefore I gave you a translation to try to help. It's talking about the following case. You have a child who needs a bris milah on Shabbos. The moel is able to come to you. However, the milah knife is in another place and there is no eruv. So the question is, do I bring the knife to the baby or do I bring the baby to the knife? That's the question. Is that clear? I have a vague feeling we discussed this, did we? We did. Okay, I've got a yes. I've got a couple of yeses. Okay. So we'll do it a little quicker then. Okay. The Mevio b'Shabbos, Hikshu b'Tosvos. Tosvos asked, Lama yavi izmel etzal tinok, why are you bringing the knife to the kid? Yavo tinok etzal izmel deleka elishvus. Bring the kid to the knife, because it's only a rabbinic prohibition for you to carry the kid. The Adam Chai Noseyes Atzmo Lekulei Alma, because everybody agrees that a living being carries itself, so therefore it's only a derabanan. Vetirtsu, when they answered in Tosfos, the Hachamai Askinan, what's the case here? B'she'en Sham Menika Ela Imo, when the only one who can nurse the kid is the mother. V'nimtzit Sarach Li'imo La'achar Mila, it's going to need his mother after the bris. The imam is Sukenis, and his mother, a week after giving birth, she's in danger. She's sick. She'ani achol alavo etzlo. She can't go to the moel. Ve'im tzricha nachziro etzal imo. And they would need to bring the baby back to the mother. Ula'achar mila harayu chole ukekafus dami. And after the mila, then the kid is really considered to be like somebody who's tied up. Umod rabinas and bekafus. And then everybody agrees that carrying him is like carrying the knife. So the statement is, what the Rashba brings first from Tosfos is that when I'm calculating whether to bring the kid to the knife or the knife to the kid, the truth of the matter is it would be better for me to carry the kid than to carry the knife. Then why don't we do that? Because we know that after the bris, you're going to need to carry the kid back to his mother. And at that point, carrying the kid is the same as carrying the knife anyway. So you haven't benefited at all. That's the statement that the Tosfos makes. And the Rashba challenges that. He says, "Ve'enu mechuver be'enai." This is not clear in my eyes. "Demikomakom achshav enu kekafus." He says, right now, before the bris, you're telling me the baby is not considered like he's tied up. "Laman achalal alav achshav." Why should we override Shabbos for him now? "Yavi tinok etzeli zemel." Bring the kid to the knife. Carrying him right now is only rabbinically prohibited. And maybe after the bris, there will be somebody who can nurse the kid. Right? Miriam will be there and she'll summon a nursemaid from the Jewish women. And that way the baby will be fine. He says, why am I bringing them the knife to the kid? Bring the kid to the knife, and then maybe someone will be able to nurse him there. Vafilu dalsos medina neulos. Even if there's no traffic through the land, the city gates are closed. Mikomakom kol she'efshar achshav belochilol nasa achshav belochilol. Still, let me do what I can in the best way possible right now. Ula'achar mila kevendelo efshar neviyeu etzel imo v'daha hutra etzel malachazu. And then, after the bris is over, then I'm allowed to carry him. You follow the question? The Rashba's question? He says, what are you worried about the future for? Do what's necessary right now in the best way halachically possible. And then whatever happens afterwards, happens afterwards. Ella yesh lomar, so he gives a different answer. He says, I have a different answer for why we're not carrying the baby to the knife. I think the answer is, de'afilu kodem mila havi kekafus. The answer is that even before the bris, the kid is considered to be tied up. He's not carrying himself. The tino katan kol kach eno nosei as atzmo. An eight-day-old kid is not carrying himself. That's the answer that the Rashba brings. And then he says, v'yesh mishatiretz gam betosvos til Rabbi Eliezer kevin shatari hitira machshirin lo terchinen v'lo mishaninon. He brings you another answer that some bring to say that Rabbi Eliezer is the speaker here, and Rabbi Eliezer believes that you're allowed to do all the backup steps for the bris in general. You could make the knife if you had to. So therefore, we're going to do it in the usual way. That's the idea. Last bit of the Rashba. Vim Tomar, you might ask, Amilo, why not? V'ha'amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, kol makom shata motzei asei v'lo sasei, he asks a question. He says, we have a basic principle that in the event that I have a competing mitzvahs asei and mitzvahs lo sa'asei, then if I can satisfy both, that's what I'm supposed to do. And if not, the asei overrides the lo sa'asei. That's the way it works. So he says, Yesh lomar desha'ani hachav. You could say this case is different. De'efsher shalalidchos mia legabe mila atzma. Because, he says, you're going to have to break Shabbos. Because you have to do the bris. There's no way around that. V'hilkach af hi umachshirev kamila richta damu. So everything you're doing is a part of the bris. So that is the key line. That last line is the most important line that we're going to read in the Rashba. You're going to ask me, why shouldn't I minimize my violation of Shabbos? The general rule is, if you can satisfy both sides, you have to do so. My answer is, because all you're doing is one big act of bris milah. That's what you're doing here. It's one big act of bris milah. And therefore, there's no idea of hakal hakal tchila, because it's all permitted under the act of the bris. That's the idea. So going back now into the Nishmas Avram. He says, he just said that in the case with the figs and the stems, as long as all the figs you're cutting are going to be used, there's no problem with you cutting more stems, because all of them are going to be used to save the person's life. So he says the same thing is true here in this Rashba. We're on the second line on Shin Sadi Dalet. He says, V'chein mashma b'rashba v'ran b'chidusha v'resh perak b'lazer demila sh'tir tzukushas atosvos sh'efzer lasei satino g'ela izmal mishum desov sof yitzarech l'chal shabbos b'mila. The Rashba said the reason why you could take the kid to the knife is because at the end you're going to need to override Shabbos for the bris. Lo ichbas lan b'tosef b'tosvos chilul. I don't care about the additional act of overriding Shabbos that you're going to do. That's the idea. Even Tosfos didn't ask their question only because, he asked it only because, at the stage when you're bringing the kid to the knife, you haven't yet started the act of the bris mila. But that's his idea. So what he's saying is, effectively, that when you're dealing with figs, as long as you're saving lives with each cut of the stem, it's okay. And when you're taking care of the bris, carrying the baby, as long as you are engaged in an act that's necessary for the bris, it's all okay. That's the idea. Yes, Michael.
With that in mind, then, when it comes to the cooking issue, and rather than have the neighbor cook it, you cook it yourself, would the answer be the same? So, you know, cook a 10-course meal, you're just feeding the guy, and it's all a meal.
Mm-hmm.
Or say, no, I really need to minimize the amount of food I'm cooking, the length I'm cooking, the ways I'm cooking, all that sort of stuff. Would we put that all together?
So right now, what we're saying sounds like I'm justified as long as this is food that he is going to need to eat for his strength. In other words, we didn't say with the figs that I'm allowed to cut three, right? We still said you're cutting two because two is what's prescribed. So I have a leeway in terms of what I cook him, as long as it's food that he's going to eat and I need to override Shabbos for his food. I can make him nicer food. But they...
Sometimes we'll have a sick patient, you know. I mean, when's the last time you went for a meal and they cooked you exactly down to the wheat berry, you know, exactly what you're going to eat? Like, you don't know what somebody's going to eat. And so say, I don't know, here's somebody who's sick, I'm going to make a pile of stuff. I hope he, she eats it all. That would be great. But it could be the person's sick and two bites in says, you know, I just don't have the energy for it. And meanwhile, you know, but I told you I was going to eat it all, but now I just can't do it.
Yeah, but there you're fine, because there what you needed to do for this patient's health was to provide them with nourishment, and you know, you tried to give them what would be good for them and they didn't eat it. That's, you know, that's unfortunate, but that's life. What they're talking about with the figs is more as medication. They viewed the figs as medication. So that's a different story. That's what I would say there. I'm jumping in the Nishmas Avram because I really want to finish this topic tonight, because we've dragged it out across, you know, too many weeks and it's too much. So I'm jumping down the bottom of the column, Hakal Hakal Tchila, the letter Hey. You see that? Okay. I'm jumping down to that. That's our last case. And he quotes you, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, in the Kovetz Shiurim. He says, I'm just looking at my sheet. Okay. Hakal Hakal Tchila. Kosev Kovetz Shiurim. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in his Kovetz Shiurim said the following. When we say that for somebody who's dangerously ill, we try to feed him the easiest and most lenient thing first, he says, Nira dezeu rak shehaheter mezuman lefanav, asur lo le'achol es hachamur. What that means is, if permitted stuff is available to him, don't give him something that's not permitted. Or not permitted and prohibited, but if the less prohibited thing is in front of him, don't give him the thing that's more prohibited. But you do not have any obligation to try to get him that which is less severe. To say, well, I want to avoid him having something that's prohibited. I have no obligation to go elsewhere to get it for him. Because when he eats the thing that is more prohibited, that's permissible. Because he didn't have the lighter one. That's the idea. He says, you know, to give a practical example, you have a patient on Shabbos who needs to eat meat. So you give that patient the meat that's in front of you. What if that meat wasn't shechted? You're saving the patient's life. You give him that piece of meat. That's the way it works. You don't have to go somewhere else to get him kosher meat. And then he says, this is the last of our cases, of our kal tchila cases. He says, v'ha deshochten l'chola b'shabbos. When we say you shecht for a patient on Shabbos, upirish haran, and the Ran said, mishum dezem mikri kal legabe zesim harbe shel nevela, the Ran says the reason why we shecht for a patient on Shabbos is because that is violating Shabbos once to do a shechita is better than giving the patient many olive-sized amounts of treif. So he says, the Ran doesn't mean you have an obligation to shecht for him because you just told me I can give him whatever's in front of me. I don't have to go get other stuff. Not that you have an obligation to shecht. Ela derasha'in lishchot. He's saying you're allowed to shecht for him. Ve'efsher kaven shebesoch gimel yamim kodem aser midrabanan lifrosh b'shayar. Now he takes you into a different realm. He says, let me explain it. I brought you the Gemara for it on the sheet, but I'm going to say it outside of the Gemara and the Baal HaMa'or. This is a Gemara we've discussed on other occasions. The Gemara says that you're not allowed to get on a boat within 3 days of Shabbos. Right? You remember that? We've discussed that. You're not allowed to get on a boat within 3 days of Shabbos. So one view is you're not allowed to get on the boat within 3 days of Shabbos because you'll be seasick on Shabbos. You won't enjoy Shabbos. But the Baal HaMa'or says that's not the issue. The issue is that if you get on that boat within 3 days of Shabbos, it looks like you decided to break Shabbos. Because you know what's going to happen on that boat. Storms are going to come up and you're going to be needed to do things, tie knots, fix the sails, whatever it is, in order to keep the boat afloat. So getting on that boat within 3 days of Shabbos looks like you decided, I'm going to go break Shabbos. That's the reason why you can't do it, according to the Baal HaMa'or. So now that gets quoted here by the Kovetz Shiurim, quoted in the Nishmas Avram. He says, Ve'efsher, it's possible. Kevan shebesoch gimel yamim kodem, asur midrabanan lifrosh b'shayara. Since within 3 days before Shabbos, it's rabbinically prohibited for you to get on a caravan or a boat, the reason is because it looks like you are deciding, I'm going to break Shabbos. Hachanami, here too, when it comes to feeding this guy treif, nirat kemasne lechol nevelos. Your decision of, let me give him treif meat instead of shechting, looks like it's because you decided, I'm just going to eat treif. The patient decided, I'm just going to eat treif. And rabbinically, you have to give him the lighter one if possible, because you don't want it to look like that. But he says, I have to say, that's not really a definitive proof. You can't really make that analogy between the boat case and the food and the meat case. The hasam kaven sha'osim kain bekumva asay nira kamas lechal shabbos. Because in the boat case, you're getting on the boat. You made a decision. It looks like you decided, I'm breaking Shabbos because I want to get on this boat. Aval hacha, but in the shechita case, ma she'ein mazmin en akal, eino osin biyadayim, ela b'shevi al tase. Here, the fact that we're giving him the meat that's in front of him doesn't look like I decided to give him treif. It's just that I didn't go get him kosher meat, but the treif was right there. It doesn't look like you are deciding to give him Isser. In any case, let me make sure that we're being somewhat clear here. The statement that the Kovetz Shiurim made before he got sidetracked onto the issue of getting on boats, but the overall statement that he was making was that you only have an obligation of feeding the guy the least prohibited thing in the event that the less prohibited thing is actually right there in front of you. You don't need to go get it. That's his point. That's what the Kovetz Shiurim is trying to say, what Rav Chanan Wasserman is trying to say. I don't have an obligation to go get something. That's his point that he's trying to make here. Hakal hakal tchila means, if I have things in front of me that are obviously better, halachically better, then use them. That's the idea. Is that clear? I'm worried because there are so many different cases and subcases that we're discussing. It's easy to get lost in this. But what just to summarize quickly, and then I'll take your hand. And I'm going to skip the bir halacha that he has at the end and call it a win. But what we said is this. Hakal hakal tchila means, yes, you're supposed to try to do things in as mutter a way as possible. However, that is limited by, number one, you don't impose that on somebody else. So I'm not taking somebody else's Shabbos food in order to avoid having to cook something. Number two, as long as what I'm doing to override Shabbos is itself a justified thing like the Bris Milah, then I can do other things as part of that. And number three, hakal hakal tchila is only a factor in the event that the kal is actually there in front of me. That's the idea. Dr. Felder.
The question I have, maybe gets back a little to Morris Ion and using and clinical judgment. If I, let's just say, have some clinical judgment, and I feel like I could wait, the patient could wait, you know, two blocks away, I can go get stuff, it'll take me 10 minutes, it's fine, it's not meaningful, and it would be better to give him the kosher stuff. Do I need to worry that other people will look and say, well, Felder went a couple bucks, maybe I should go a couple bucks too, and therefore I say, you know, even though I have the clinical judgment, I could give him something better. I don't want somebody else to model after me.
Excellent. So that is going to be a very big discussion. I think I actually mentioned it at one point before, but I don't know if you were here. There's a discussion about the following scenario. You're standing, I'm going to invent the case. You're standing in the lobby outside of shul after davening ends, and suddenly somebody collapses. There's a non-Jewish custodian, but you also have your phone with you. You're a doctor, whatever it is. Do you say to the non-Jewish custodian, call Hatzalah 911, whatever it is, or do you call yourself? And the halacha is that you're supposed to call yourself. And there are two reasons that are given for that. One reason is because the non-Jew might think, well, they're not doing it themselves. They're asking me to do it. It must not be so serious. And it'll take his time. But the other explanation that's given is then people are going to assume the next time that you have to go get a non-Jew. exactly like, you know, you're suggesting here. Anytime there is a concern that you might mislead people for future occasions, the rule is don't do it. So yes, that would be effectively another limitation on Hakal Hakal. If choosing the Kal here is going to potentially mislead people into the future, thinking that they have to now use that particular option, even at the expense of proper medical care, then you're not allowed to do it. That's correct. Okay, so God willing, next Monday night, we will resume with brand new things. We'll be on the next page in the Nishmas Avram. This Hakal Hakal Tchila was, you know, a tough topic, but you have some much simpler ones coming up, so it'll be easy reading going forward for a while. Okay? All right. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you very much.